The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, although sometimes that might feel counterintuitive, like a bird, the nightingale, singing out in the dark. I'm JJ, otherwise known as the Practical Alchemist, and it's great to have you with me today because we're celebrating, yes, celebrating a very important breakthrough in healthcare here in the UK. Now, 6 years ago, Charlotte Caldwell made history when she won an incredibly tough fight to legalise medical cannabis here in the UK, and her son Billy was awarded the first ever NHS prescription for the medicine. Now, Billy has severe epilepsy, and Charlotte had resorted to seeking treatment for her son's life-threatening condition in North America, treatment that was working really well. Then came the pivotal moment when Heathrow Airport customs officials seized Billy's medicine as they re-entered the country from Canada. Now, within days, Billy was once again experiencing violent seizures. He was rushed to hospital in London, where his doctors notified the Home Office that Billy's condition had become life-threatening. The next day, under a blaze of publicity, Billy's medicine was returned to him, and in November 2018, the law was changed to allow specialist doctors to prescribe medical cannabis here. Now, 6 years on, Billy is thriving, as you'll hear from his mum in a moment, but Charlotte is far from resting on her laurels. She wants to see this medicine made far more widely available, because while it's now legal, it's far from easy to access it, and this is forcing many families to resort to expensive private prescriptions or even the black market. Now, joining me with Charlotte today is Graham Woodward. He's the COO of Relief, and that's leaf as in plant, the UK's fastest growing provider of medical cannabis. Now, Graham has more than 28 years experience in healthcare, and he's an expert in this new sector. I must admit, I was delighted to meet them both to talk about this still misunderstood medicine. But first, it was a pleasure to meet Charlotte all these years on and hear how things are with Billy now.
Billy used to love his life laying down for entire years. Catatonic season every 5 minutes. He was on 7 pharmaceutical medications 3 times per day. That's actually 21 doses of pills, powders, injections every single day. He lived his life in a constant state of static, being attacked and zapped by his own brain, unable to smile, lift his head, use his arms. And today, I walk, I run with him. Billy enjoys horse riding, swimming. He attends school and is a super fan of Harry Potter. So he's living his best life.
I love that. And of course, the stress that you were going through at the time must have been pretty awful. Well, we know it was pretty awful. And, you know, how great is it that you're actually able to help your son like this?
For us as a family, it's a miracle. I'm obviously very aware that Billy will never be cured of his refractory epilepsy. That's the diagnosis that Billy has. However, his seizures are controlled, and it's given Billy the opportunity to live his best life.
Yeah, I love that. And just so that people get an idea, because some people might not remember the stories, years ago when you were campaigning to get the treatment that Billy needed. Let's just remind people of how many seizures Billy was having, at that time, and how many he has now.
So Billy could have had, anything from 300 to like 600 seizures per day. We were advised by his medical team just to stop counting. So he was in a constant state of static seizures. That's how Billy was living his life.
I can barely kind of imagine that. It's so extreme. And now he's able to go to school. Wow.
Yeah, and not only can he attend school, he's actually enjoying it and he's learning. For me, I suppose really medical cannabis, prescription cannabis, has not just given me back my right to hope, but it has given Billy back his right to life.
Yeah. Yeah. And does he have any seizures at all now, or do you have that completely under control?
No, I'm touching the kitchen table here while I'm talking. Billy's seizures are absolutely and totally controlled. But as I said, like I'm very aware he's not cured, but the control is just, it's like a miracle for us as a family.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that... Well, it isn't hard to believe, is it? I'll bring Graham in at this point. It's understandable, I guess, that it took such a long, hard road to get this for people like Billy, children like Billy, people who have issues like Billy. You can kind of understand it because the government was so against having a controlled drug used as a medicine. But really, this is the kind of thing we're seeing everywhere, isn't it? For people who can access it still, because there's still an issue with that, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's really incredible listening to Charlotte. We've all, I mean, patients, service providers alike, got a huge, huge gratitude to Charlotte for the work that she did. I know her work was to try and support Billy and her son, but the knock-on effect of that has opened the doors for thousands of people to be treated. One of the biggest issues, or two of the biggest issues right now for accessing medical cannabis, is that they've created guidance that you have to have tried two licensed medications for your condition or your illness. And some of those medications are very toxic, but not only do you have to have tried them, you have to have failed. Either they haven't been efficacious, or they've given such horrible side effects that you haven't been able to take them. And once you've gone through that, then you can access medical cannabis. And even just talking about that in my and listening to my own voice, I find that bizarre that you have to have tried something poisonous to be able to access a plant.
Yeah.
It seems, I cannot get my head around it. And I think in the 6 years that we've had now of legalizing medical cannabis, it's not really legal because patients are being asked to jump through so many hoops. And also then you can only access it through private clinics such as Relief. And then there's a high cost for that care. You've got to pay to see a private consultant, licensed producers who grow the pharmaceutical grade medical cannabis. It's not an inexpensive medication. So there's the cost to people who potentially can't work because of their illness, and also then, as I said, there's the barrier. Some people have decided to never take pharmaceutical medications but want to access medical cannabis, and they can't either because of this arbitrary or this guidance that was put out that the MHRA, the CQC, the GPHC were all adhering to. But it doesn't really make any sense, because if you think of all the 70,000 BNF British National Formulary products that are prescribed, if you look at opiates alone, we've had every year around 6,000 people die from opioid addiction. If you look at America, it's 100,000 people a year. But considering medical cannabis has been around for 2000 BC, there's never been a single death from cannabis.
No.
You know, we have the discussions around it causing psychosis, but the psychosis has been caused by the illicit market, high growing of really wrong, really, really strong super skunk, sprinkling spice over it, ketamine over it, all kinds of substances, Miracle-Gro, pesticides, everything. So you're potentially smoking a product that is very, very toxic. And if you're already predisposed to a mental illness, it can exacerbate it, particularly those people under 25. So, I think the scaremongering about cannabis is not linked to medical cannabis. It's linked to a very underground lofts, you know, basements growing of cannabis as quickly as they possibly can, with as many Miracle-Gro type products as they can, and very toxic product that people use.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. And it, just going back to Charlotte, I mean, Charlotte, for you, it must have been a weight off your mind to know that you could access a good product, you know, properly sourced. I mean, I know that you were going abroad for medication for Billy, but your choices were get something off the street that you didn't know what it was, really, and you can't control the doses that way either. So you're in the dark about whether it's going to work or not. So it must have been a complete weight off your shoulders to be able to, in this country, get what you need and know that it's going to have some value and purity that will actually work.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I would not attempt to administer, a drug off the black market to my son.
I wasn't saying that you would do. I'm just saying that those were your choices, right?
I think for Billy, he's a child, and Billy has to have, pharmacologically consistent product, that's regulated. But to be able to access that, obviously, like you just said, Jen, we had to leave the country, but to find that and see the difference in Billy, it's just a miracle,
and the cost of that as well was outrageous for you, having to go and source it out of the country, and then obviously there were issues bringing it back in, and I'm sure people can Google the whole story and find out exactly what was going on there. So knowing what an effect it's had on your life, knowing how much better yours and Billy's life is now, what would you like to see happen now with medical cannabis? Because I'm listening to Graham talk there, and I'm thinking, I'm one of those people that wouldn't want to have to go and take some kind of pharmaceutical before I was allowed to take a natural product, or a product that's from a plant and as natural as you can get. How would you like to see things go forward?
Well, I think what we're all very aware that there is only a handful of NHS prescriptions, and I believe there's two very strong issues that need to be addressed, and I think one of those issues is consistent quality supply. I think we're all very aware that in any industry does not progress until they start to behave. And for the last 6 years, what I believed would bring sunshine and rainbows to thousands of vulnerable chronically ill patients across the UK, for me, it has turned into what I can only describe as dark clouds and rain. And we also need to start thinking about, we know that for a medicine to turn from a unlicensed medicine into a licensed medicine, so as the NHS can, have the confidence to prescribe, there needs to be some sort of, fit for purpose trials and studies carried out, to prove the efficacy and the safety of that medicine in named conditions. However, we also were very aware that progress has been really slow in the UK regarding medical cannabis. So, right now we have 35 clinics in the UK that are providing a service to patients with a wide spectrum of conditions. However, a lot of those clinics for the last 6 years have only really provided what I can describe as poor standard of healthcare, and the inability to provide consistent quality medicine for these patients. I have support hundreds of patients through the Iambili Foundation, and they contact me on a regular basis, and it's they're receiving medicine with seeds, with mold. These clinics are not answering their phones, they're ignoring their emails, and so patients have endured, what they have endured for the last 6 years is just not acceptable. And Relief launched in February 2024, and what I have seen has just been they're trailblazing this space. They're a provider that is delivering compassionate, innovative, patient-centered healthcare on a daily basis. It's gold standard, and I think when this is what our government needs to see, I think it's what the regulators need to see, I think it's what the NHS need to see, for them to actually sit down, to stand up and take notice and go, wow, here we have a gold standard provider. And I think with the compassionate delivery of this, what I can only describe as gold standard healthcare that Relief are providing, I think we will start to make progress. And it's like Graham said, for example, GPs, I'm a strong believer that GPs should be allowed to prescribe. I'm also a strong believer that patients shouldn't have to try two medications before they're allowed to try medical cannabis. And I think with Relief trailblazing this, I think we have a really good chance now of progress in regulation.
Now, that would be a very good thing, in my opinion. And I must admit, I was just a little shocked to hear that some patients are receiving medicine that's not up to scratch. Now, there's plenty more to come from both Charlotte Caldwell and Relief's Graham Woodward. But for now, it's time to take a short break. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, the Practical Alchemist. As I look back over 6 years since medical cannabis was legalised here in the UK and take stock of where we are today. With me is Charlotte Caldwell, whose son Billy was the first patient to receive an NHS prescription for the medicine, and Graham Woodward from Relief. We've been talking about the hoops that patients have to go through still, and I was reminded of my interview with James Leavesley of Dalgetty recently, a grower and producer of medical cannabis here in the UK, and the massive hoops that his company had to go through to get their product up and running. It seems to have been a struggle for all concerned, despite or maybe because of the legislation. So I asked Graham to tell me more about Relief and how they're tackling the issue, given that Charlotte calls them the gold standard in this area.
Absolutely. That's very high praise from Charlotte, and I can't thank her enough from that. we don't class ourselves as a cannabis clinic. We class ourselves as a healthcare provider that just so happens to prescribe a molecule that happens to be cannabis.
Mm.
So I have 26 doctors at Relief. We have 6 nurses. We have 14 patient support. So I'm in a really, really fortunate position that we've got an incredible team around me, but also we've got really, really passionate funders, so that every time we bring in more patients, we grow the team. So that the worst thing that a patient's experience, particularly from a private organization, is no one answering the phone. No one's responding to their emails. You can't ask a question about your medication. When's my medication due? We don't follow that model at all. We make sure, as I said, we've got 14 patient support team, and every day they clear the emails, and you can imagine we've got circa 5,000 patients now. And
wow.
They have hundreds of emails every day, and every day those emails are answered. We have a whole team to answer the phone. So as a patient, that you can be respond, we can respond to your needs every second of the day. We're a Monday to Friday service. We do offer some weekends, but Monday to Friday. And the other part of that is we spend a lot of time training our team and our staff on how to deal with those FAQs. We have a lot of patients who are cannabis naive. So they need a lot of discussion, a lot of hand-holding around how to use a vaporizer or how to take their oil. We have a compassionate scheme for people who struggle with the internet or phones. We have a palliative care system where we have patients who are coming towards the end of their life, and we literally hold their hands virtually because we're an online clinic. But we try to provide as much patient care as we possibly can. And I really stipulate within my own organization, and they know how I feel, that we don't grow our patient numbers without growing our patient team. And I have worked in organizations where we've had 1,000 patients and we've had 2 people in the team. I won't follow that model at all. I think if you're paying for, and even if you're not paying for healthcare, you should be responded to all the time whenever you need to. If you're a patient of ours, you can see a doctor every day if you need to. We offer a system by where you can pay as you go, so you can just pay for your appointments and you pay for your medication. We offer a reduced fee where you can pay a monthly fee, and that means you can see a doctor 5 days a week if you want to. You have, as I said, you already get, as part of that, access to our patient support team, but also you get reduced medication. And part of my role is to look and to speak with vast licensed producers such as James at Dalgetty Glass Farm, because we'd ideally want to have as many local, you know, UK growers on our formulary, because then we don't have all of the issues of coming across the ocean, you know, whether that was from Canada or Portugal, etc. So the supply, because one of the most important things, as we know with any medication, and cannabis is exactly the same, if you have to take a daily medication and the pharmacy hasn't got it, then potentially your condition could relapse. So most of my driver and most of the work I do is speaking to licensed producers, but not only looking at high quality homegrown medical cannabis, also looking at trying to renegotiate the price of those oils and those flowers, so it can become more accessible to patients who have, you know, low income or potentially on disability allowance or unemployment, job seekers allowance, because it isn't cheap to access private services. So we try to not just, we look at every end that we can have, you know, how patients can access. So we try to make the portal as smooth as possible. As I said, we have a chatbot on our platform that you can ask, you can pick up the phone. We do everything we can to make a patient's experience and their health the priority that it should be from any organisation.
Right.
It's refreshing, Graham, refreshing for me to hear you say that, because you're just describing like patient-centred service.
Yeah.
And on top of that, consistent quality supply. You've just revealed your secret.
Well, I think for people like James at Dalgetty and some of the UK licensed producers, to even start building a growing facility, you're looking at circa £10 million.
Oh, I was horrified at the amount of money that was
Yeah,
going into that.
I've heard £23 million for growing, for setting up a facility. That's only for setting up the facility. And then there is no guarantee that what you've built is going to pass the Home
Correct.
Office or the MHRA's regulations and give you a license to not only grow, but to also manufacture and produce to provide for patients. So you've put a 10 to £20 million budget into some greenhouses that you don't know whether it's going to ever have medical cannabis growing in it,
That's true.
which is a big trust from from people like James. So I always take my hat off to people like James and the other James Duckenfield, who's over at Glass Farm.
Well, I think you all seem to be very supportive of each other, I have to say, because of the way the industry, if I can call it that, is right now. Obviously, it would be fantastic if more people had access. And, I know that you're working really hard to campaign for that. But I think a lot of people are still, and you said yourself, Graham, a lot of people are still not quite sure how to use this medicine, right? Now, Charlotte, how is the medical cannabis that Billy takes given? Is it an oil or what?
Yes, so Billy has a bottle of oil, and I just administer his medication via a little syringe. So it's basically just very similar to giving your child Calpol. It's the same method of administration.
So that's easy. But then, Graham, that's not the only way that you can take the medicine, is it?
No, we provide oil as just very similar to what Billy and Charlotte have, but we also provide flower. The flower that we have, it's predominantly domestically grown. We won't go above 25%. The global guidelines always said that 25% THC content should be the maximum ever prescribed. But it's not just about the THC content. Obviously, there's a CBD content, but it's also about the terpenes and the minor cannabinoids.
And I wanted to get into that in a little bit as well. So, yeah.
So we provide, if we prescribe a flower, we have looms and videos that we can send to patients to show them how to, because if you've never used a flower or a cultivar before, to understand how to grind the flower to what size, how to load your vaporizer. So we have leaflets, we have videos, we have loom videos. We can go on the line just like this and talk through how to use it. So we try to provide as much support rather than say, right, here's some flower, you need a vape. That's not, I mean, that is not good patient care. And that just means somebody's going to have something at home that they're never going to benefit from because they're not ever going to know how to use it.
Or if they do know how, well, maybe if they have an idea how to use it, they're a bit wary because they think that they associate it with another form of taking that medicine, which they don't want to be associated with.
And that's the thing. I think we talk about we won't we're very clear that all of our flower is grown and prescribed for vaping, not for smoking. And it's quite interesting that if you smoked cannabis, so cannabis, if it's smoked, that's a cigarette is around 1,000 degrees. When you vape cannabis, what you're trying to do is bring the oils off the trichomes in the flower. If you think about a pollen and a flower, it's like bringing the pollen off the flower, and that's what the trichome is. And that's only 180 degrees. So it's never a temptation to burn the flower, because with burning, you create carcinogens and all other toxins. It's to heat the flower so that the oil comes off the flower and you get the most efficacious experience. And I think if people that on the recreational market realized that actually they were burning a lot away of their money, they might also turn to vaping because it is much it's much more efficacious. It's less harmful to your lungs and the toxins. So yeah, as I said, we provide as many videos and as we possibly can, depending on what the patient wants to do. We'll do a face-to-face a video call. We'll provide them with leaflets, and all of our packages come with very detailed pamphlets and leaflets anyway.
Which sounds great. Charlotte, do you know what the I suppose you do, but I mean, did you have to go through a process of working out what formula, if you like, is best for Billy?
Yeah, well, in Billy's case, we were blessed, really, because when he got access to his medicine in Canada, that particular product was actually, compounded by the doctor. So she literally, which was an amazing experience for me. She didn't actually, basically when I went into the consultation, she said, so we're going to leave the epilepsy over there, and we're going to leave Billy's autism over there. That's Billy's diagnoses. And yeah, she said, we are going to, now you tell me how we're going to look at how Billy is. So his physical demeanor, the seizures, how they were affecting him. So it was more like, and how the autism, I should say, was affecting Billy. So it was more like she was looking at him overall, and then she just decided, she was an expert, by the way, in prescription cannabis. She actually just then said, well, this is what I would say needs to go into this formulation for Billy. So it was sort of tailored, and then that medicine was procured uniquely for Billy.
Fantastic. And
I think that's another reason that maybe I should say that this particular product that Billy is on is working so well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you may see, this is a brilliant point, isn't it? An excellent point to make, because we're all different. And this takes me on to what I was going to talk about with you, Graham. We are all different. We all have an endocannabinoid system. In other words, we make our own cannabinoids in our own bodies. In fact, all living things, mammals and animals, do. And so the reason for taking cannabis is because the phytocannabinoids, we're really lucky because phytocannabinoids actually attach to our receptors and they supplement us. So what we're doing when we're taking something like a medical cannabis is we're just supplementing our body, but we're all different. We're all at different stages. I mean, I'm old, and so, I probably would need to take more of whatever if I had something wrong with me than somebody else. So there's also that element of complexity that Charlotte's talking about there, that people need to get their heads around. So it's not an easy process in the sense of regulating it. If you get what I mean there.
That is an absolutely incredible explanation. Thank you so much for that, because I've never heard anybody describe what you've just described so well. It's perfect.
Thank you.
No, it really was. It really is. And I think that's to be able to do what you've explained. I find this stuff so, this is what gets me out of bed in the morning. It's it's every patient, every person, of course, is individual. And when patients come to us, of course, the first thing we do is we have to get their medical records, because we need to see what their history is. And once we've triaged their histories, we've gone back to the doctor if we need more information. Then when we're satisfied that we have a condition and they meet the criteria that we've already said is ridiculous, then they will see a consultant who specializes in their condition. And then out of the assessment that they do, then they will choose a care plan, a treatment plan that will include either an oil, a flower, or a combination of both. And like you've rightly said, it isn't you constantly give the same medication to the same male, female every time. No, we do a really, really, it starts from the moment a patient contacts us. They have to do an eligibility questionnaire to start with to make sure they're not pregnant or they don't suffer from psychosis. But we follow the patient's medical records. And then once we've finished and we've prescribed, we instantly, as soon as that assessment stops, as soon as the doctor hits submit, that creates a letter that goes straight to the patient's GP. So the GP knows that we're involved in their care, and then gives the GP the confidence to say, oh, great, did you know about this? So we create a shared care experience for the patients. by just keeping their GP involved. Unfortunately, some GPs are still very anti-medical cannabis, and I can only assume that that is related to the lack of knowledge and the fears behind the opioid crisis and other fears of medications coming through. But I think science is changing, isn't it? We've got psilocybin, so magic mushrooms are coming through, ketamine, MDMA. And if you think about the treatments that we've offered in the past, such as ECT, so electric convulsive therapy.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But now moving into, you know, organic homeopathic almost medications that really work, I can't, it almost makes the hairs on my arms stand up, really. It's great.
It really is great. And just for clarity, the flower Graham is talking about is the flowering part of the hemp plant, not to be confused with flour that you make bread with or anything else. And phytocannabinoids, of course, are the plant cannabinoids that nature has so generously created so that we can use them within our own endocannabinoid system where our own cannabinoids are somewhat lacking. See, nature providing for us once again. Now, there'll be still more to come from Charlotte and Graham, but first, it's time for another short break. I'll be back right after these messages, so stay tuned.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one talk health radio station. Yes, you're listening to UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my totally inspiring guests today, medical cannabis campaigner Charlotte Caldwell and Graham Woodward of Relief. Before the break, Graham was talking about how medicine is evolving, and here was my tuppence worth. It is extraordinary what's happening now, and I just think that, you know, Charlotte and Billy's experience of being lucky enough to find somebody who can actually say, okay, this is what Billy needs, this is what I think Billy needs, and it works beautifully. I mean, you cannot. Well, I don't think you can argue against a result like that and say we can't allow other people to have the same benefit, you know. And for me, it just seems extraordinary that instead of actually working out what somebody needs and what, you know, what combination or, you know, how much of what a person would need in order to, you know, sort out their condition, we're saying to people, no, you've got to take this pharmaceutical first or that pharmaceutical first. And when that doesn't work, you can get something that might actually work for you. And imagine, I'm being a bit partisan here.
No, you're completely right. Imagine suffering from pain for 10, 20, 30 years and deciding not to try to deal with it via other forms of treatments that are not pharmaceutical forms. And then thinking, okay, I found a breakthrough, I can access medical cannabis. But unfortunately, under our current guidance, they can't. We turn patients away all the time. And for me as a nurse, that's criminal that I can't offer treatment to every patient that turns up in our service.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And again, you know, I'll say it again, you're really just supplementing what your body makes itself. It's a bit like taking vitamin C.
Well, it's right. Even better than that, isn't it? Because we know whether vitamin C works or not. I know that when people have a cold, suddenly they want to cram their body of 120 milligrams or micrograms of vitamin C, but they've already got the cold. Whereas,
but it gets rid of the cold quicker, apparently.
Does it? Well, I don't know. I've not tried.
Well, so I'm told. So I'm told by experts, right?
Yeah,
and so I did it myself the other day and it did work. But when I say it's like taking vitamin C, though, what I mean is you are putting into your body something your body's lacking. It's not like taking a pharmaceutical drug that is just working, you know, on a certain element of your physiology, your biology.
If I can use this analogy, imagine we can go to the pub, we can buy an alcoholic drink, we can go and buy cigarettes over 18 if we want to, but we can't access medical cannabis that we have the money to because certain organizations say that we have to have done X, Y, and Z. It again, the more I talk about this, the more it makes no sense to me. And I don't want, I don't become a politician or stand on a soapbox in Hyde Park about this, but there's no rhyme or reason. There's never been a single death. Yes, people are worried about psychosis. I get that completely. As a psychiatric nurse, I've seen really horrible, the ravages of horrible schizophrenia or psychosis. But that's related to something that's very different. That's related. It's almost like relating, this is probably a terrible analogy, but alcohol and cigarettes. They're two very different things. Yes, they both cause harm, but they're not related in that way. Whereas medical cannabis, we know when it's pharmaceutical grade and it's prescribed in a way, we won't prescribe more than 60 milligrams, 60 grams of flower a month, because that should help you do your work, do your job, or just function in life. And we will only prescribe one oil. We won't prescribe hundreds of grams of flower for a patient to support an illicit, an underground illicit recreational market or whatever. That's not our aim. Our aim is to help patients get better and live better lives.
And live their lives as Billy is doing. And also just to say that THC, I'm not going to do the long form of it because I can never get that out without stumbling over it.
Tetrahydrocannabinoid.
That's the one. THC is the psychoactive, the main psychoactive cannabinoid. CBD does work with pain and, but it's not psychoactive. And there's a whole spectrum, isn't there, of cannabinoids. Some do, different ones do different things and connect with different receptors in the body. So it is a complex issue, but not all cannabis, not talking about even medical cannabis here, but not all cannabis is psychoactive. It's not all going to make you high. And Charlotte, we look at what's happening with Billy now, and we're hardly talking about a young child
No.
who's getting high every day, are
And
we?
Billy has THC in his medications. It's predominantly CBD, but there is THC in there. And look how well Billy's doing.
Exactly. So, well, I am so glad that Billy and others like him are managing some to get this medication and are doing very well on it. Charlotte, just I have a final word from the two of you, but Charlotte, final word. I mean, we've talked about how you want to see things going, but looking back over the last 6 years, what are your thoughts now?
Well, I'm after listening to Graham and yourself on here, I think the question on my lips is, if Relief had been launched in 2018 instead of 2024, would we be in a different position regarding legislation? Would we be more advanced? Because I am certainly confident that we would.
I can't argue with that. I think that you're probably right there. And Graham, how do you see things going forward? I mean, you're growing really quickly.
We are, but we're also growing the team to support the patients that we're growing. I'd love to be able to speak to the lawmakers and get them to speak to some of our patients, see some of the evidence of the benefits. An 18-year-old who has never been out of their home because their social anxiety was so crippling that now is having driving lessons. 90-year-old couple that haven't gardened for 30 years and it was their main passion, are suddenly gardening for 20 minutes a day. This is the this, and we must be taking all of the people that are coming to us and not going to the NHS. So we're indirectly supporting the NHS by taking patients away from them to provide the best care that we possibly can. I'd love to share this with the lawmakers and the MHRA, the Home Office, the CQC, the GPHC, all of those people, and just show them, what it's really like rather than what the perception is.
Well, let's hope that somebody's listening to you at the moment. I know that you're doing a whole range of interviews right now about this, and let's hope that some people do pay attention and take it on board. And, I think it's maybe just a question of constantly talking about it so that the education gets through. So, you know, people start to understand what this is all about. And but again, you know, I come back to Billy and how fabulous it is that he's living a life now. And it's all down to a plant.
Yeah. Incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible. Well, Graham, fantastic to meet you. Fantastic work that you've been doing. And Charlotte, what can I say? You know, I'm so happy to hear how Billy's and your... I'm tearing up now because I'm getting all emotional about it. So happy to hear how both of your lives have changed for the better and how well he's doing. It's absolutely fantastic.
And he's a wonderful
boy. Oh, thank you.
He's a wonderful boy. If you get to meet him and get to know him, he's a wonderful boy.
Thank you so much.
Young man.
And thank you for having... thank you. And thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, no, you're very well. It's lovely to meet you. You know, having heard about you and your story for all this time, it's absolutely fantastic to get to meet you in person. Oh, and, well, in person, we're recording this remotely, but you know what I mean. And
yes.
And hear from your own, you know, in your own words, how things are going right now. So absolutely wonderful. Both of you, great work. Thank you very much for coming on the show. And here's to everybody getting more access to this medicine. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
It really does make my heart swell when I hear how people are being helped in this way. It was such an honour to meet Charlotte. What a strong woman and great campaigner. You can support her campaigning work through her website, iambilly.uk. I am Billy, the boy who changed the law. And hearing how Relief is blazing a trail for appropriate healthcare is just fantastic. Their website is relief.co.uk, so do check that out too. And remember, it's Relief, R-E-L-E-A-F for Freddie, or Foxtrot. Right now, we can only dream of a future health service fueled by plant power, but maybe this November's supermoon energy will help us manifest just that. Certainly, if Graham and Charlotte have anything to do with it, we're on our way. But I'm going to have to be on my way right now, leave you with that thought, as we've come to the end of the show. You can find out more about me and my work at thepracticalalchemist.uk. And you can book a free exploratory call or book a session with me there. And check out my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. I've had a bit of a hiatus on that, but I will be getting back to it very soon. I hope you've enjoyed this show as much as I enjoyed my time with Graham and Charlotte. Thank you for listening. I look forward to you joining me another time here on UK Health Radio. Until then, goodbye from me and that nightingale.